Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors K, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. A happy Thursday to each and every one of you. It is great to have you on board with us today. And thanks for choosing us to listen to. Now it's our job to deliver a show to you that you'll enjoy. That means it's all on Sean's shoulders.
We can take it.
What?
We'll do it.
What?
What?
Now, today we're going to have our high school football roundtable today, which I'm looking forward to very much. Big games coming up tomorrow night. And we'll have Pat O'Brien and Mike Ferlazzo and the entire gang here today to preview the games that you'll hear on the Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations. And then the Mystic from the East will show up in the final half hour. What's coming up tomorrow? Well, tomorrow should be fun. Tomorrow, Carissa Thompson from Fox Sports is going to join us. Also tomorrow, Bob Flounders, Patriot News, and PennLive.com. And Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, all on tomorrow's show.
Love it, love it.
See, we got a lot going on tomorrow.
We also got an offer from our friend down the hall to preview Danville Central Columbia tomorrow night. Just thought I'd run it past you first. That's what I thought.
Coming up on tomorrow's show, we'll have Carissa Thompson from Fox Sports and Extra on the show. Bob Flounders, the Patriot News, and PennLive.com. And also tomorrow, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. I believe I've made my point.
Yes, you did. What was I thinking?
Who's Danville playing?
Central Columbia.
See, again, let's think. Just let's take a moment and null this out on the air for everybody so they understand where we're coming from. All right? Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the first week of the high school football season. Remember when Mike Ferlazzo went to leave the station?
That's right.
And then he got on site?
It seems like yesterday.
Remember what happened? The word sabotage was used. Now it sounds to me like somebody's trying to worm their way back into the show. Who's Danville even playing?
Central Columbia.
I mean,
new head coach, yeah, off to a good start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for them.
They are. Yep.
Tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much the preview we have in that game. Are we carrying the game?
Negative, Ghost Rider.
So we're not carrying the game. So what is the purpose, for example, of the 3:35 to 4 o'clock time frame on Thursdays? What do we use that for?
Focusing the games that we cover with live play-by-play and an extra preview of what you can expect.
Hmm. So in other words, the games that we carry on Eagle 107, okay, 100.9 The Valley.
Ding.
Okay. Talk Radio 1380 WMLP.
Ding, ding.
And, of course, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ding, ding, ding.
Okay. Of all of those, it doesn't sound like we carry Danville games. Unless they're playing one of those teams.
That's right.
So the same individual who tried to sabotage the first WKOK game with Mike Ferlazzo now wants to worm his way back into the show. A.K.A. the suit. I'm glad we had this talk.
I'm glad, too.
Management is glad we had this talk.
Chevy Chase and the National Lampoon Vacation movies. Great talk. Great talk, Russ.
Great talk, Russ. But coming up today, we're going to have our four announcers on that will talk about all this and more. We're going to have all four today?
We will.
We'll have all four on today, which is great.
Yep.
And then I have not seen the list of games that we are predicting today, but my brother is on the final half hour, correct?
Mm-hmm. I emailed them to you earlier this week. I'll be more than happy to re-email them to you.
Oh, just do it off the top. I mean, I'll just roll with whatever you got.
Oh, man.
I'll just roll with whatever you have.
Okay.
It's all right. Look, this is a dart-throwing contest to begin with. Can any of us hit the board?
It is.
Can any of us hit the board is what we're trying to do here.
I'm looking for two great weeks in a row, not to brag.
What are the current standings?
We have a two-way tie at the top.
Obviously, somebody's in last place.
All right. Overall, after 3 weeks... Kevin Jones and yours truly with a record of 16-7. And I was able to close the two-game gap between Kevin and you and I last week.
Am I even over 500?
You are. You're 14-9. Kevin and I are 16-7. You are 14-9. I was able to go 7-1 last week to tie Kevin at the top, and you and Kevin went 5-3. So there's still a two-game gap between you and your brother, so you did not lose any ground.
Well, can't lose to you either.
there's still a lot of games to go. So we'll find out if it was a...
Let me put it this way. As many games as we need to get to the front, we're going to use.
Well, we have another great eight lined up, so...
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And to think, remember, we're doing this just based on winners. We're not doing it on point spreads.
That's correct.
Imagine what that would be like. Oh, my goodness.
I just think this is a great warm-up for you, and then when you hit the network with Jack for your picks on Saturday, you're rip-roaring and ready to go.
They never tell us which games we get.
Rods doesn't know?
Oh, we never know. Like, oh, okay, we're doing that? Okay. All right. So, in fact, it gets to the point I don't even know where we stand. They tell us where we stand before the segment, and I don't put any thought into it. As the weekend goes as to whether I picked it right or not, I'm like, oh, really? Okay, good. Had a good week? Oh, great. Had a bad week? Oh, well. Oh. Well, I had to go speak to the Penn State Club of Michigan tomorrow night. It's actually going to be in Eastern Michigan's football stadium. They have a really nice end zone lounge at the football stadium. And yes, the turf is gray. But I might stay a little bit longer tomorrow night. You want to know why? Because Eastern Michigan's actually playing tomorrow night. They're playing Wyoming. So I might stay and watch a quarter of that. I've never seen Wyoming play before. So why not? Now, there may be some of you sitting there saying, why? I say, why not? Some of you may be saying, why? And I don't blame you for asking that question. If I were in your shoes or if I were in your car right now, I might be asking why as well. Tonight, Coach's Show featuring James Franklin. We'll feature James Franklin, and Denise St. Pierre will be joining us tonight, the golf coach. So we'll talk to her about a variety of things, about her team, about the weekend, and we will also then get into the value of the Olympics and maybe the impact on the game as well overall. That'll make the suit happy. We'll talk about the Olympics on the show tonight for a little bit. In a positive way, maybe. Because what was interesting, if you looked at golf and the Olympics on the men's side, Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, Dustin Johnson, all did not play. Adam Scott didn't play either, did he? I don't think so.
He did not.
Jason Day did not play. But on the women's side, all the top players played. Lexi Thompson, MB Park, Lydia Ko, they all played. Stacey Lewis, I mean, all of them played in the Olympics. So actually on the women's side, they were all in to Olympic golf. So we'll get into that a little bit tonight as well with her. So I get a 1 hour break, correct?
Unless you're going to practice.
I am going to practice.
It's yes or no. It's, well, in a way, it's kind of a break, but not.
I always go to practice.
You do. You know that. You do. Yes. Yep.
I always go. And because you never know what you're going to miss. Seriously. And it's one of the things you don't, you know, you know, it may be the same as the day before in a lot of ways. Maybe it's not.
On air break, but still working.
Yeah. Yeah, you're still working, but, you know, it's, and you may get something out of it. You don't know from time to time what you get, what you don't get. As I mentioned earlier, tomorrow it's going to be Carissa Thompson. Interesting because she hosts not only NFL kickoff on Fox with Dave Wannstedt, Colin Cowherd, and now Charles Tillman. He replaced Randy Moss. But she also hosts Extra with Mario Lopez. So she has to jump from show to show. We'll talk to her about that tomorrow. She'll be one of our guests. Bob Flounders, Patriot News, and PennLive.com tomorrow. And Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report tomorrow. So we have a full boat for tomorrow's program. We're looking forward to it very much. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. And by the way, happy birthday to Roger. From us to you. And I guess there's a big party coming up on Saturday, right? Yeah. I noticed that the party was playing for the exact same time the suit was working. All right.
That's right. Yeah. It's like a home game. Yep.
Yeah, it's, yeah, and I, you know, I said, "Well, what was the goal?" I said, "To have a good time." All right, so oh, for goodness sakes, we're just having fun here.
We are.
Yeah, it's what we do. It's what we do. We try to have a little bit of fun here on the show, and we'll talk high school football in the next half hour. It is officially fall, by the way. 10:22 this morning, fall. Autumn. Oh, what a great time.
Summer, gone.
Ah, thank you, as Dick Girardi would say. Clemson, Georgia Tech coming up tonight. Houston and New England tonight. You notice that the Bill Belichick, when it comes to former coaches on his staff, he never, except for maybe Josh McDaniel, he's always been rather standoffish about him. You notice that when it comes to Bill O'Brien, he is not. That's interesting. And Bill O'Brien, by the way, will be coaching his first game in Foxborough since he left the Patriots to take the Penn State job. So That will be tonight's game.
And you would think with the New England down to a third-string quarterback, this would be Bill's best shot for his team to win tonight, you'd think.
Well, they're both 2-0, and Jacoby Brissett is going to start tonight. There will be no Jimmy Garoppolo tonight.
I did hear Julian Edelman did take some snaps in practice, just in case.
But. Julian Edelman, when he was at Kent State, was the quarterback. When he was at Kent State, he was the quarterback. He didn't become a wide receiver until he went to the pros. Twins and Tigers 1-1 top of the fifth. That's the one afternoon game. Phillies play the Mets tonight. That's at City Field, and that'll be a 6:35 airtime here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, your home for the Philadelphia Phillies.
How about the Mets getting swept by the Braves? Whew.
That's brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, you sit there schedule-wise, and you're trying to make the playoffs. Right now, there are three teams tied for the wild card lead, which is the Pirates' problem. The Pirates have actually played the best of the four teams down the stretch. They've picked up two games in the last 10. They've gone 7-3. The other three have gone 5-5. But the problem that you have is you have 11 games to play. What are the Pirates? 3.5 out in the wild card right now? They could go 8-3 in their final 11 games. And if two of the three go 5-6, they're still ahead of them. That's the problem. And that's why, when they start doing these odds and so forth, I think ESPN had calculated the Pirates have a 1.4% chance of making the postseason. Okay. And that's the reason why, because it's not that they have to leapfrog a team to get to the playoffs. They have to leapfrog two teams to get to the playoffs. All right. That are tied right now. You have three teams tied for the wild card. Well, two of those three, and you've got to be able to leapfrog two of them to get to one of the two spots. That's what makes the task so difficult. High school football, the first high school football weekend of autumn 2016 is tomorrow night. The games that our stations will carry will be the ones that we'll preview. We would preview other games that we don't carry, but the question would have to be why? Stop laughing and tell Wakeman to stop laughing. It was a very generous offer by the suit.
I thought it was, too.
Who also freely admitted he only knew anything about one team. Well, that doesn't help.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. What a gorgeous first day of fall this is. Wow. And the first high school football games to be played in the fall will be tomorrow night. We'll talk about that in a few moments. But first, we have to get to this day in sports history. Always fun, always intriguing, and always what Sean loves to talk about. In the end, it's really about what Sean wants to talk about, not what the red. No, I'm just kidding. Remember the days when the suit used to hold the show hostage over the Olympics? All right. Stop laughing.
Good times.
Listen to you. Good times. Yeah, great times.
Right.
yeah, good times. Great times. Great. Yeah, hold on. We're going to talk about equestrian. Fabulous. 1927. Gene Tunney in Chicago successfully defended his heavyweight title against Jack Dempsey in the famous long count fight, where Dempsey didn't go to the neutral corner and allowed Tunney to recover and eventually win. 1934, the NHL approved a new rule that allowed awarding penalty shots. 1968, Cesar Tovar of the Twins became the second major league player to play in all nine positions in one game. Bert Campaneris was the first. 1969, Willie Mays hit his 600th career home run. And in 2006, Barry Bonds tied Hank Aaron's National League home run record with his 733rd home run. Remember, Aaron hit 22 home runs with the Brewers when the Brewers at that point were in the American League. All right. That brings us now to our high school roundup. We start with Mike Ferlazzo, who's been outstanding, who after overcoming being sabotaged the opening weekend by the suit, has turned in one brilliant performance after another. Mike, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Steve, it's great to be with you. And, you know, we haven't lost since that opening sabotage.
I understand that. Let's get to that because Selins Grove, you know, it's a rivalry game. Discuss the emotion of that and how it played out, Mike.
Oh, big-time emotion. I mean, that was a packed bowl at Memorial Stadium on Friday night, both sides full, as you might imagine, in the rally for the Valley game. And, you know, Selins Grove had beaten Shikellamy three straight games in the series coming in. And this was the second time, actually, the brothers-in-law went at it, as Derek Hicks and Todd Tilford, brothers-in-law, the head coaches of Selins Grove and Shikellamy. And Selins Grove jumped on them early, you know, went right down the field for a score, led it 14-7 at the half. But, you know, Shikellamy has quietly become a very effective second-half team and really dominated the third quarter. Didn't really have anything to show for it, but then got two touchdowns in the fourth and rallied for the 21-14 victory. And, you know, on the season, Steve, now, Shikellamy has outscored opponents 49-7 in the fourth quarter. I talked to Todd Tilford about that. I think there is something to say about conditioning, but he said they're really not doing anything special. They think the plays are there. They maybe just miss a block here or there. Defense comes up with a turnover in the second half. So not panicking. Maybe that goes a long way.
Not adjustments?
He doesn't say that they're making any major adjustments. I'm sure there's a little tweaking here and there, maybe some personnel that they insert in a certain situation. But you know, nothing that seems too out of the ordinary. They just... I think what really happens is the offensive line really starts to take charge in the second half, and you know, maybe that's something. They have a big kind of a experienced offensive line that maybe starts wearing on people a little bit, and they get that wing T attack going, and you know, maybe by the fourth quarter, the opposing defense is worn down a bit.
How have you felt about quarterback play so far, Mike?
I think Tate Krankowski has been effective. I mean, he's not out there to really win the game for him. He's just out there to complete an occasional play-action pass, which is what you want from the wing T. If you've got that ground game going, you know, that makes him more effective in play action. He's been able to do that. One of the concerns, I think, for Shikellamy this week is Tate got nicked up a little bit in that opening play from scrimmage last week against Selins Grove. Sustained an ankle injury, did not play the rest of the game on defense. He did finish, however, on offense, but I know it's a little sore still this week, so his mobility will be a bit of a question, and you know, he may need all that mobility because they've got 6A and undefeated Williamsport coming to town on Friday.
And you know a lot about them, Mike, from working Montoursville and so forth in the past. What is it about this Williamsport team that has allowed them to get off to a great start?
Well, I mean, obviously they've got size, speed, athletic ability all over the field. You know, certainly Chuck Cruz, the head coach, has done an outstanding job turning the Millionaires around, getting them off to back-to-back now 4-0 start. And, you know, last week they beat Wyoming Valley West, the defending Wyoming Valley Conference Division I champions. First time they've beaten them since 2002, and the first time they've actually beaten a team with a winning record since 2008. And what they do it with, though, is a couple of star athletes that I suspect you may be seeing down the road, Steve. Trayson Pott, their 5'10", 183-pound sophomore back. Listen to these numbers. 55 carries, 652 yards, so he's averaging 12 yards per carry with 9 touchdowns. So he's averaging a touchdown like every 5 times he carries the ball. He's also returned a kickoff for a touchdown. You know, he is a big-time player and just a sophomore, so a lot of folks are in on him early. Isaiah Hankins, their starting quarterback, is a senior, and you know, he's thrown for 737 yards and 5 touchdowns, completing almost 74% of his passes. Of course, if you have that great ground attack, you can do that. But he's also an athlete, too, 183 yards on the ground with 4 touchdowns. And I guess a lot of Division I schools are looking at him as a monster. He's a monster back on defense, so a defensive back is what they're looking for him. And then they also have an all-stater at defensive end, and Ross Stebbins at 5'10", 225 pounds. So I think the big key is they've got Coach Cruz. It's, you know, getting them executing a little bit better. And they've got a lot of returnees back from a team that went 6-5 a year ago, 9 on offense, 10 on defense. So you know, they're awfully tough. This is going to be a tall order for Shikellamy, but, you know, who knows? It's at Shikellamy Stadium, and the Braves are feeling pretty good about themselves, and I know they want to get that ball control wing tee offense going short in that game and not allow that Williamsport offense on the field very often.
Mike, always a pleasure. Appreciate it very much.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Appreciate it, too.
It'll be on News Radio 1070 WKOK tomorrow night at 7. Airtime will be 6:30 for the pregame show. Let's shift gears now. And up next is what, Seelens Grove? Is that the one that's next?
You bet.
All right, Pat O'Brien on Eagle 107 will have the call tomorrow night with Ryan Brandt, and it's going to be another tough one. They've got Berwick coming up. Pat, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Thank you, Steve. Great to be here. Another, as you said, a beautiful fall-type day. Love it here in Seelens Grove.
Incredible. Pat, second half, what did not work from the Seelens Grove point of view that kept a comeback from happening?
Well, the one big part of it was penalties. You know, it continues to be a problem within Seelens Grove, even when they have drives moving. Very inopportune penalties. Penalties are never good. But, you know, when they implement the spot foul and you get a holding in the backfield, next thing you know, it's instead of being second and even if it's 10, 11, it ends up being second and 19, and that really changes the way you go about offensively. So in the second half, we saw a lot more of that, creating a very difficult task on the Seelens Grove offensive side. And on the defensive side, you know, there were times where the defender had him, you know, to make a tackle, and unfortunately not making the tackle, creating big plays for Shikellamy. They scored two touchdowns, one from 37 yards out and one from 48 yards out, and both of those came off of would-be tackles close to the line of scrimmage, but then turned into long touchdowns. And big part of that second half for Shikellamy was the two long runs they had.
Are you surprised at this point, Pat, that Seelens Grove's not generating a little bit more offensively in terms of scoreboard?
That was the big unknown because of the receiving core. I mean, they had two guys last year in Colin Hoke and Nick Swineford came in as seniors. And when you had a sophomore quarterback kind of blending together, boy, that made a nice combination. What's happening now is, you know, you have younger receivers, and maybe the confidence level of the junior quarterback, Logan Libby, to try to rip one in there where last year guys were making plays, you know, had that senior experience. I'm wondering if that's kind of the element that's happening now, that when you get down tight inside the red zone, those windows become smaller, and you need that confidence in your receivers that they'll go up and make plays. And that's been the big conversation with Logan Libby. Very talented quarterback, no question about it, putting up great numbers. But right now, the big talk is you got to just let it go. You know, you got to throw it in there and hope your players make plays and score more touchdowns, because, yeah, he only has four touchdowns on the season. And when you look at his numbers, he's 65 completions on 103 attempts and only four touchdowns, but he does have 844 yards. So I think that's a big element, Steve. I think gaining more confidence in your receivers that they'll make plays in tight spaces.
Exactly. And now, Pat, they've got Berwick. It's going to be at home tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. But what does Berwick bring to the table that really is going to make this game tough?
A running game. That's been the difficulty for Seelens Grove, even in their win against Milton at the beginning of the year. Milton was able to squeeze out some yardage against Seelens Grove defense. Montoursville did it. Even Shamokin had some positive plays, some success running the ball. And then last week, Shikellamy did. And they have a good pair of backs with Mike Force and Lynn Wida. Wida has 536 yards on the season on 86 attempts, averaging over 6 yards to carry, 9 touchdowns, and 134 yards per game. So that's going to be a huge issue. They do run the pass-run option. It creates difficulty for Seelens Grove, as it did last week against Shikellamy. So that's going to be a huge part. They need to tackle. They need to come up, make plays, and get that first tackle and get the guy on the ground, because that's what Berwick's going to look to do, is do what other people have done and had success doing, and that's running the ball against this defense for Seelens Grove.
Pat, always a pleasure. It's on Eagle 107 tomorrow night at 7, pregame at 6 o'clock, and Sean Carey will have the postgame as well with the scoreboard. Pat, thanks so much.
Thank you, Steve. Have a great weekend.
You too. All right, we transition now to talk about the Black Panthers of Milton. That means we bring in Steve Williams. You'll hear it on Talk Radio 1380 WMLP tomorrow evening. Steve, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Steve. Good to be back.
All right. So we know it's been tough sledding. We all understand that. How do you gauge success when it's been tough at times for a team to get W's?
Well, I don't know that we're really looking for W's. I mean, this game against Bloomsburg tomorrow, Bloomsburg comes in at 1-3. If we look at common opponents, they have won in Warrior Run. They beat Warrior Run 22-13. Warrior Run was able to do not whatever they wanted to do, but they were very successful against Milton. But, you know, what we saw, and it's really hard to say in the huge lopsided loss that they had last week, is we're starting to see the development of the quarterback, the sophomore quarterback, Phil Davis. Phil's got a good arm. He gained 40 pounds of muscle over the offseason, and they are starting to use that a little bit more. They'll roll him out. They'll put him back in the pocket. He seems very confident in the pocket, and they've thrown the ball a lot more than we've normally seen because of them using the Delaware wing T. They've gone to some different options as far as the offense goes. Where it's really hurt them is he should be able to sue his receivers for lack of support sometimes. I mean, these guys, there were so many drop balls last week. And they were catchable balls. He's starting to develop as a quarterback, and I think that's what we're seeing here. We're seeing a kid that in the next 2 years is going to be pretty good.
All right, so now they've got that component that is a plus going forward. Something that Milton normally has been able to do, they've normally been able to run the football. What's kept them from running the football as effectively as Milton normally does?
They don't have a true fullback. The fullback that they've been using, Garcia, he's a transfer from Chambersburg, and this year is the first year he's ever played offensively. He's a big kid, 210 pounds, 6'1", but the problem is that he runs stark straight up. He gets into the line, and he's a big target to hit, and they're not gaining that yardage from the fullback that they need to gain to keep the defenses honest. They have running backs that can get to the corners, but, you know, if you don't respect that fullback coming up at you, you can defense those end sweeps or the off tackles a little better.
All right, so give us a thumbnail on Bloomsburg and what makes them effective and a threat.
Well, Bloomsburg, back on the schedule, they were there a couple years ago. It was always a very good series, but, you know, they like to throw the ball, and they've always liked to throw the ball. They've got a new coaching staff from the last time that Milton played them, you know, and that plays into Milton's strength. Their linebackers have played well. Their defensive backs have played well. They did allow a score last week, and it was just a Hail Mary where the defensive back and the receiver were side by side. The receiver was able to come down with the ball. So they've had good coverage in the secondary. They got to find some luck too. That's been the thing with them. You know, and of course that's really nothing more than just a lot of preparation, but that's definitely the stronger part of their team, albeit tough to say in some of the blowouts they've been in.
It'll be 7 o'clock tomorrow night on 1380 WMLP, pregame at 6:30 as Milton takes on Bloomsburg. Steve, absolute pleasure. Great to have you with us.
Thanks again, Steve.
All right. Let's now transition 100.9 The Valley. And George Wetzel joins us in studio, and it'll be Lewisburg in action against Southern Columbia. And just, you know, I mean, just the mere fact that I mentioned Southern Columbia tells you how tough it's going to be. But I want to get to last week's game first, Steve. What were a couple elements in last week's game for Lewisburg? Where, you know, against Jersey Shore, which has been really good the last 3 years, but won the game 38-21.
Well, what happened was Lewisburg defense was on the field for about two-thirds of the game, and they essentially just wore down. But they, believe it or not, they gave Lewisburg a lead at halftime, 21-17. With 2 minutes and 15 seconds to go in the first half, Lewisburg was trailing 17-0. Jersey Shore had the ball, threw a pass. It was intercepted by Dante Malone, returned 40 yards for a touchdown. Lewisburg kicks off, three plays and out. They punt. The punt went under the snap of the punt went under the punter's legs. Lewisburg tackled the punter on the 7-yard line. One play later, Lewisburg scores a touchdown. It's now 21-14 with about a minute and 20 seconds to go in the first half. Jersey Shore gets the ball, drives down the field, has a 3rd and 1 at Lewisburg's 12-yard line. Quarterback runs a little keep to the right, is tackled and fumbles. Tradell ball picks up and goes 90 yards for a touchdown. So in the space of a little over 2 minutes, Lewisburg scores 21 points, takes a 21-17 lead into the half. But then Jersey Shore dominated the second half because, number one, Lewisburg's offense just could not move the ball. And the second thing was their quarterback, Shimori, and the wide receiver, Sanford, they were just totally on that night. And they had a second receiver, a split end, that also had a good game and had over 100 yards receiving against Lewisburg. Lewisburg's defense essentially just wore down.
George, are they getting good quarterback play at Lewisburg?
For a freshman, I would say he's playing well, but he's inconsistent, as most freshmen are at that position. And the line is not giving him a lot of time to throw the ball. He'll look really good on 2 or 3 plays, then all of a sudden there's a blitz package from the defense and his protection breaks down. He either rolls out and is tackled, Or he stays in the pocket and is sacked. So that's been the real big issue with him, the offensive line giving the quarterback and the running backs room to run and or throw.
Typical Southern Columbia, fair to say?
The only thing that's not typical about this team is they are starting 11 freshmen and sophomores. Of the 22 starters, 11 of them are either freshmen or sophomores. But other than that, it's typical. They're averaging over 50 points a game. They have a freshman running back, Gabe Garcia, who has 517 yards rushing on 45 carries. He's averaging 11.5 yards a carry. Their all-state running back, Hunter Thomas, he has 25 carries for 371 yards. He's averaging 14.9 yards per carry. Their quarterback, Stone Hollenbach, has completed 26 of 41 passes for 619 yards and 7 touchdowns. And their leading receiver is a freshman, Julian Fleming. He has 8 receptions for 272 yards. He's also returned a punt and a kickoff for a touchdown. So would you say typical Southern? Yes, it's typical Southern. But like I said, they're younger this year, and they're still doing the same thing.
Frightening.
It is.
George.
It is.
100.9 The Valley tomorrow night, and 7 o'clock the kick and 6:30 will be the airtime. George, it's always a pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. So that's the schedule tomorrow night. Is how it'll look. It'll be on 100.9 The Valley. Coming up tomorrow will be Southern Columbia taking on Lewisburg tomorrow evening. Again, that's at 7 o'clock, 6:30 will be the airtime. Also, that will be at Southern Columbia. It will be Milton at Bloomsburg on Talk Radio 1380 WMLP, 7 o'clock, 6:30 the airtime. Berwick at Sealands Grove, Seals at home tomorrow night on Eagle 107 at 7 o'clock. 6 o'clock will be the airtime. Post game with Sean Carey with all the scores after that. And then on News Radio 1070 WKOK at Shikellamy at home with Williamsport, 7 o'clock, the kick, 6:30 the airtime. Back with more after this on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay, open lines next half hour, 1-800-795-9565. Tomorrow we'll have Carissa Thompson from Fox Sports on the show. Also coming up tomorrow, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, Bob Flounders, Patriot News, and PennLive.com. Looking forward to that and much more. Top of the hour news. And, of course, Jennifer Wakeman with local news. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.